happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
And I'm Chris Cooper, sitting in for Ann Northrup.
Welcome, Chris.
Thank you, Andy. Good to be back.
Before we get to the, and we're going to talk to you about what you've been up to. Before we get started, we want to, it would be wrong to not acknowledge the obvious of what's going on in this country. The West Coast is burning. The Gulf Coast is flooding. Or what can I say other than our thoughts are with you? But we know it's a terrible time. But in the news, Trump is accelerating his anti-LGBT initiatives, even during the campaign. He's holding COVID super spreader events and destroying the credibility of the CDC during the COVID pandemic.
Florida politician Andrew Gillum, who ran for governor, comes out.
Yes. A trans man got elected in Maine, a trans woman in Delaware, a lesbian in Rhode Island, and a transsexual Satanist anarchist is the Republican nominee for sheriff in New Hampshire.
Two men are suing Kevin Spacey for abuse. They say they were abused when they were 14 years old.
You may have heard of one of them. We're going to mourn the loss. We do mourn the loss of icon Diana Rigg.
TikTok is, bad news for LGBT students in Russia and good news in England.
And we can decide whether this is, this is bad news. TikTok is banning LGBT hashtags in anti-LGBT nations.
Trans activist Mireya Rodriguez is murdered in Mexico.
Terrible story. Chris, you had a quiet summer?
You know, it was sleepy, COVID lockdown, not much going on, nothing in my life.
Come on. Come on, Chris. Everybody knows Chris, and we read about you in the news these days. You testified at the Democratic National Committee on the Platform Committee.
I did.
What was that like? What was that like?
It was interesting. You know, it was. I think everyone pretty much had their mind set on what they were going to vote on. And so, you know, I was just able to maybe provide a little bit of background. Tammy Baldwin asked some interesting questions and, but it was interesting. It was kind of cool to be there.
Are you happy with the way the party is talking about race issues? I'm noticing that Joe Biden is right in there saying we got to do something about, you know, white supremacy. We've got to do something about systemic racism. He talks about that stuff.
Sure. I think it's going to help a lot that Kamala Harris is on the ticket. I mean, even with her baggage of her prosecutorial past in California, I think her presence just as a black woman there is going to help raise and keep the focus on certain issues.
She seems to have thrown Trump off his game. He doesn't know what to do with her.
Well, I'm really looking forward to the vice presidential debate because I think she's going to eviscerate Pence.
All right, let's not get our expectations up too much. Okay. Also, we talked about it last week on the show, but you have written a Black Lives Matter graphic novel. It's a bird. We got a picture of it.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Graphic novel is too strong a word. It's a short story, really. It's not anywhere near novel length. It's a short story, but in comic book / graphic novel format, a lot of people, you know, shy away from the word comic book because it frightens them or they think it's juvenile material. So they use the term graphic novel.
Not after Alison Bechdel.
They say graphic novel and they feel like it's suddenly more highfalutin somehow.
Well, that became a Broadway musical. Don't put yourself down. I mean, your story could become.
I don't put down. I think comic book is a perfectly great word. I don't diminish it in the slightest. But anyway, so yeah, I did a short story in comic book format, graphic novel format, whatever you want to call it. And it sort of draws from my own experiences and from the experiences this country has had and tries to weave them together through the use of a certain magical device in a way that brings out the heart of the matter and maybe shows the thread that runs through all of them.
And if people want to read this, they go to dccomics.com?
Sure, dccomics.com, and you need to search for Represent. And the reason why you're searching for Represent is because that's the name of the comic book series that this is. It's a Bird is a Story in this comic book series. So you've got to look for the title of that comic book series, Represent.
It's a Bird. And when we talk about these things, these links, the full links are in the Gay USA email that goes out every week. If you subscribe, you go to our website, gayusatv.org. You sign up for our email. We give you the exact link. You go right there. And, you know, that's how you do it. But this wasn't your first serious comic book. After the 1993 beating of Rodney King by Los Angeles cops, you wrote something called Skin, for a dark-hold horror story in the anthology comic Midnight Suns Unlimited, number 2. and you said you were channeling your rage at the time.
Oh, totally. When the Rodney King verdict came out, I had so much rage, I didn't know what to do with it. So I poured it into this story. Darkhold was a comic book series that I created for Marvel, a horror comic. And then in this other comic, Midnight Suns Unlimited, you know, we would do a story about this, a story about that, a story about that. So we did a very short form Darkhold story in that Midnight Suns Unlimited comic. And this one was focused entirely on a brutal cop in California and what happens to him when he confronts this cursed page of the Darkhold that gives him what he thinks he wants at that moment, which is being exonerated of charges in his latest brutal beating of a black man.
Right.
And so he gets that, and he also gets something else.
It reminded me of the movie Alien a little bit.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Going out of people's
claws. Yeah, it is a horror story. Yeah, something you have to understand about the stories I like to tell, there is always a fantastical element. I just can't help it. For me, there is something about a fantastical element that frees the story and lets you find what matters in the story more easily, gives it more impact. So in anything I write, there's always something fantastical, whether it's in It's a Bird or whether it's in that story Skin. And in the case of Skin, it's these creatures that live just underneath the skin of everybody alive. And this guy is actually setting them free every time he beats somebody brutally. And the question is, what happens because of that?
Gonna write one about Trump?
No. That's already a horror story.
No, it's a horror story. What's the audience for things like this?
Well, I'm hoping for It's a Bird that everybody possible reads it. DC is making it available for free. DC Comics, that's who's publishing It's a Bird. The same people who do Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. In fact, that's why it's called It's a Bird, because look, up in the sky, it's a bird. It's a play on that. So I'm hoping everybody possible will read it. It's available for free digitally. So you just go to the website and you can read the whole. It's very short. It's a very quick read. It's only 10 pages, and it doesn't take long to breeze through it. But hopefully it'll be very impactful. I'm especially hoping, because so many people view comics as a juvenile medium, that a lot of young people will read it. Because I think hopefully it will get them thinking about these issues and also educate them to some extent, because a lot of them, you know, I just take for granted that everybody knows who Amadou Diallo is. Certainly every New Yorker knows who Amadou Diallo is, because I lived through it.
Amadou Diallo reaching for his cell phone and shot by like a whole bunch of cops in his doorway.
Four cops, 41 bullets, because he was going for his wallet to show them his ID. No crime that he ever committed. Perfectly innocent, unarmed man sitting on his own doorstep. But people don't know that. It's almost forgotten at this point. And so, you know, I put that into the comic, and there's actually an epilogue to the comic where we go through the things we alluded to in the comic, and we give some of the details of those and other cases of black people, unarmed, innocent black people who were killed at the hands of police unjustly. So, you know, I'm hoping it'll also be educational for folks.
Now, we're going to break some news here. You were telling me just before we went on the air here that you are working on a memoir.
Yeah, I'm writing a memoir for Random House, and it'll be a while before it comes out because I've got to finish writing it. But yeah, that's kind of exciting. Something different.
It's going to talk about your whole life.
Yeah, it's sort of taking a look at the intersection of being Black and being gay and being a nerd, because I am, all through the lens of birding. So, you know.
Birding, yes. And our viewers should know, we can't get Chris as a co-host in birding season. So I'm not going to
say. Spring migration, month of May, forget it. Ain't doing it.
Well, we look forward to that, and we hope to have you back. Anything else you want to say? Any other reflections you want to share with our viewers about what you've lived through this year? I mean, beyond what we've all lived through.
Well, I was going to say, we've all lived through, you know, some pretty tumultuous times. And I think the one thing, it's interesting, someone asked me just like an hour ago, they're like, you could have just gone back to, you know, said, oh, enough of this and gone back to your ordinary work, your ordinary life and all that, but you seem to be, you know, sort of continuing to press this. And I think what we all have to remember in these tumultuous times is that we all have to press this. There is no going back. There is work to do, and we all have to step up and do the work. And the first goalpost in doing that work is it's lifelong. But the first goalpost of doing that work is November 3rd. And we've got a lot of work to do.
Yes. Well, now people are voting now. Vote as early as possible. We have, you know, you should be able to find this by now, but there are all kinds of links, and we will send more out with our email. But you can check on your voter registration status. You can get your absentee ballot. You can do all these kinds of things now and vote as early. And as soon as that absentee ballot comes in, send it right back. Other people say, I'm only going to vote in person. Okay, but do it. You remind me about, you know, returning to private life. Edie Windsor, after she won her case, I sat with her for a long time. We were in the back of we went to a funeral together. And she said, I'm going to do this for another 6 months, and then I'm going to have a life again. I'm getting a girlfriend, and I'm going to, I've done my bit. She never quit. She never stopped until she died. She did more after she won her case and became an international symbol of justice. Okay. By the way, it's Bisexual Awareness Week starting tomorrow, actually. And we have the story of Andrew Gillum in Florida.
He ran for governor and lost to the present guy. But he's an African-American man who has just told us that he is bisexual.
Yep. Of course, you know, we kind of figured when he was caught in a drunk in a motel with two men, one of whom was a male escort who had overdosed, you know, that he was trying to tell us something. But he told Tamron Hall, I don't identify as gay, I identify as bisexual. I've never shared that publicly before. His wife, RJ, told Hall on the show that she views sexuality as being on a spectrum. Thank you for that. And she said, all I care about is what's between us and what agreement we make. And I don't know if we're going to get the details on that, but it's good to have them aboard.
I don't think we should get the details of that. Well, that's their business.
That is entirely correct. All right, let's move. Before we talk about some of the sort of the good news coming out of politics and the bad news, let's talk about we haven't talked about the election. And I know this is something on your mind. Trump this week called Biden a pedophile, literally, based on, you know, him, the way he used to massage women's shoulders, things like, but it's ridiculous. And nobody in the administration will pull back on that.
Well, the biggest thing to remember about Trump is that anything he says maliciously about someone else is him projecting about himself. So, you know, he's the one who grabs women by the P word. You know, he's the one who's going backstage during his pageants where there are, you know, very, very young women undressed. You know, so
if it's all projection, are you saying he's a black faggot? We have the quote from the Michael Cohen book He refused to let Kwame Jackson win on The Apprentice, saying, "There is no way I was going to let that back black faggot win." Cohen says Trump expressed low opinions of all black people. Jackson was the runner-up on the first season and has an MBA from Harvard Business School.
And there was nothing he hated more than Barack Obama's success because of that. Cohen goes on to say his hatred for Barack Obama is plain and simple. He's black. He went to Harvard Law. He graduated at the top of his class. He's incredibly articulate. He's all the things that Donald Trump wants to be, and he just can't handle it.
So he wants to be a black gay man. Okay. From Harvard. All right.
Well, I don't know if Barack Obama is gay, but...
Well, he came out with his Supreme Court list. He did this the last time, too. This time he's really pandering. It's riddled with anti-LGBT bigots, the kind of people Trump wants to appoint to the court. But he threw in Senators Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz.
Slavery was a necessary evil, Cotton.
No. They saw it as a necessary evil. Padded their pads. Josh Hawley, he also noted this African-American, Daniel Cameron, who's the Kentucky Attorney General. If you've seen him on television, he's a jerk. Judge Kyle Duncan, who was counsel to the anti-LGBT Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. So, you know, we're not telling
you. You're skipping Ted Cruz of Texas.
That's right. I did have Ted there from Texas. It's whose father, Trump said, was part of the Kennedy assassination. I mean, you know. All right. Well, housing and urban development. This is the deadline for commenting on their new rule allowing for anti-trans discrimination in shelters. The deadline is September 22nd. Go to hrc.org. The full length link will be in our email. But, you know, you can make a comment on this. Now, does it do any good? Well, you know, I did it. It's an outrageous thing. I mean, they're kicking people who are down already. And that's what is so ugly about the administration.
It seems to be their modus operandi.
Washington Blade is suing the Trump administration for refusing to turn over emails related to a rule change allowing federal contractors to discriminate against LGBT workers. The request was made to the Department of Labor, run by Scalia's son, I can't remember his first name, a year ago, and now they're suing because they're not getting the information. They want to see, how did you come to this decision that we should be discriminated against?
Well, and the most important thing to remember is something my grandmother always told me, and this is in relation to Trump, because he pays lip service to LGBTQ equality, which, you know, the log cabin Republicans latch onto as a lifeline to show that he's the most gay president ever. The most important thing to remember is don't pay attention to the lips, as my grandmother would always say, watch the hands, watch what he does. That tells you where he is on LGBTQ equality. And he's nowhere on it.
Was your grandmother a suffragist? Their slogan was deeds, not words.
There you go.
All right. Mike Pompeo is leading an event at the United Nations as we speak, centered on his Commission on Unalienable Rights, which is anti-gay, translated into six languages, including Farsi, making the United States the axis of evil with anti-LGBT states such as Russia, Saudi Arabia, the Vatican, Iran, etc.
And we should clarify a little bit, Andy, that, you know, the whole thing about unalienable rights is that use of that language is deliberately crafted to exclude abortion and crafted to exclude us, LGBT rights.
Right.
So that's why it matters when, you know, it sounds like something really positive, like, oh, this is good. And it's anything but.
He is a piece of work. By the way, the Indiana State Appeals Court rejected an appeal from conservative religious groups challenging the limits on the state's religious objections law adopted by Governor Mike Pence. Remember when Mike Pence had to back up a little bit because Indiana was getting slaughtered? He backed up a little bit. They don't think that the objections have gone far enough. The court found local laws banning discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity don't interfere with your activities. Go away.
Yeah, I mean, basically, the people who were trying to sue to upend this didn't get any standing because there hadn't. The standing in court means that, you know, you've been harmed somehow, so you have a reason, the ability to bring this to court. And they said, you haven't been harmed, so go away. You can't bring any suit against this. So.
All right, can we give them some good news? We got some election victories to report.
Absolutely. Why don't we start with...
We have a picture.
We have Tiara Mack in Rhode Island. Tiara Mack won her primary race for a seat in the Rhode Island State Senate. She defeated an anti-choice and anti-LGBTQ incumbent, longtime Providence Senator Harold Metz.
Yes.
The guy who blocked marriage equality, and he's been unseated by Tiara Mack, who is
African-American.
Wonderful. By 60% of the vote, 40%.
Yeah, in fact, they elected a whole slate of progressive candidates in Rhode Island. It's really good.
Yes, it was a group called the Rhode Island Political Cooperative Ticket, and they put forward a whole slate of folks, and a lot of them made some headway.
Yeah, so they're shaking things up. And Rhode Island is Democratic, but it's pretty sclerotic. And then moving to Delaware, they likely have, and they will have, based on the how people vote there, the first trans states senator in the country, Sarah McBride, who we knew was a spokesperson for the human rights campaign. She decided to run there. And
the district is 3-1 Democrat over Republican. So the fact that she won the Democratic primary pretty much guarantees that she'll be the next senator from that area.
All right. Moving on to Maine.
Also, well, before we get to Maine, also in Delaware, there is an openly gay state house candidate, Eric Morrison, who did well, but his race is still too close to call.
And they haven't had any open LGBT legislators in Delaware, I believe, up until
so. These would be firsts.
Yeah, two. All right, now we'll go to Maine.
Yes, where Gio. I'm going to mangle this name, but
all right. Good luck.
Gio Sakhtamon Neptune, who goes by the pronouns they/them. Has become the first openly two-spirit transgender and non-binary person to be elected to office in Maine. They are from the Native American community there, from the Passamaquoddy tribe in Indian Township, Maine.
And then there's my favorite story of the week. In New Hampshire, put her picture up, Aria DeMezzo. She is a self-described transsexual Satanist anarchist. Her campaign slogan was F the police. She actually spelled it out.
Wait. But Andy, you're burying the lead. She won in the GOP primary.
That's correct. She won the Republican primary for sheriff in Cheshire County in New Hampshire. She said 4,000 people who voted for her September 8th, knowing absolutely nothing about her. The system that let you down by allowing me to be your sheriff candidate is the same system I'm attacking. She called both parties of hostility, aggression, taxation, and military-style policing. And she's going to face the incumbent sheriff, Eli Rivera, but you never know. I mean,
well, and the incumbent sheriff, on the other hand, who's a Democrat, has apparently repeatedly been accused of police brutality. So it's like, oh, great.
Well, she wants the cops to stop enforcing laws against harmless crimes rather than undergoing like racial bias training. She just wants them to stop enforcing the bad laws. And she says she's a radio, well, I don't know about radio, but online. She does something called Free Talk Live, and she teaches people how to sell Bitcoin. I don't know anything about Bitcoin, do you?
No, sorry. We're not that generation. So are we ready to talk about the battle for the states?
Oh, yes. Let's pull that up here. Yes.
All right. So Andy knows this. He remembers this many, many moons ago. In my zeal to try to flip the New York State Senate from Republican to Democrat, I started a political action committee called No More Reptiles. And Reptiles stands for Republicans Toying With Your Life. Reptiles, R-E-P-T-Y-L-S. Yes. And I'm reviving that slogan because we need it now more than ever. No more reptiles. No more Republicans toying with your life. And there are states where we can make this happen if we put our shoulder to the wheel and do the work.
Yeah. This is a tough year. I've explained this to our viewers a number of times. I mean, we are running on lines in the state legislatures that were drawn mostly by Republicans because we were asleep in 2010. After 2 years of Obama, we thought everything was going to be all right. So the Koch brothers came in and they bought up the state legislatures because they were the legislatures that were going to draw their own lines for state legislature and the House lines. And we've been running against this ever since. We've managed to overcome them in some states like Virginia, but we haven't overcome them in North Carolina. We can elect statewide candidates in North Carolina. And, you know, Biden's likely to win North Carolina. But we... You know, we're up against it. So we've got to get the legislatures back.
And by back, this is what we really have to stress is because people think, oh, partisanship is so bad. Partisanship matters. Party matters. If the Democrats have more seats than the Republicans, it means that Democrats set the agenda. Democrats decide what bills will be voted on. Democrats run the committees. It makes and most important of all, as Andy was just saying, Democrats decide how the redistricting happens and draw the lines so that Republicans aren't in charge for the next decade, even though they don't have the numbers to support that.
Except in the few states that have nonpartisan districting, like Iowa, for instance, you know, there are laws that have this. Now, we only need to pick up 3 seats in Arizona Senate, 2 seats in the Arizona House, 4 seats in the Michigan House, 2 seats in the Minnesota Senate, 5 seats in North Carolina Senate, 6 seats in the North Carolina House, 9 seats in the Pennsylvania House, that'll be tough, and 9 seats in the Texas House.
Yeah, but this is all doable. I mean, well, maybe not Texas, but maybe Texas, because Texas is increasingly purple. The point is, there's likely going to be huge turnout, a blue wave, and if we work to make sure that blue wave is activated and hits in the right places, we can do this.
And the Human Rights Campaign is mobilizing 160 staff to work in key states, saying they're dedicated to turning out 57 million equality voters, they call them.
And I don't know if the chyron for this is up yet, but swingleft.org, that's an organization I've been doing a lot of work with, and they have a blueprint for flipping these state senates, these state legislatures. And it's crucial that we get that work done.
Yes, so... Pay attention in your states. We know this show reaches a lot of people in a lot of red states, and you can turn them blue if you work for that. Okay, where shall we move on to?
Well, there is the very sad news of the loss of really a major, major player in philanthropy, specifically for LGBTQ causes, and that's the death of Henry Van Emmerungen at the age of 90. So he had a good long run and a good long life. But he funded so many gay, lesbian, trans organizations, always with an eye towards particularly the underserved, the underprivileged. I mean, when Carl Siciliano's group, Ali Forney Center, first got started.
For homeless LGBT youth.
Thank you. For homeless LGBT youth. He wrote a check for them that covered their first 6 months. That's right. How important he was. He was stepping in always at crucial moments to fund specific projects in our community. And he just died.
Yeah, Matt Foreman, who used to work, who became the executive director of the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, used to
be with the New York City.
And he had lunch with Henry, explained what was going on. Henry said, "Will this help?" And he hands him a check for $100,000.
Which, you know, back then, you know, was just no one gave money of that chunk to that size to an LGBT.
Well, there was somebody, but he was the anonymous donor, and I'm not allowed to tell you who it was. The guy who funded Patrick Martin Institute, Sage, he always remained anonymous, and I did some work with him, but he will remain anonymous.
Good.
And there are people like that out there who could write the big checks. He was very devoted to marginalized people in the community, people of color, black gay men with HIV through his foundation, big supporter of In the Life on PBS, and also devoted to the youth causes. And the National Center for Trans Equality called him a friend. And he's survived by his spouse, Eric Galloway. All right. Should we show Minot, North Dakota, excuse me. Should we go there?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to let this try. The city council members, the aldermen there in Minot, they ran the rainbow flag on City Hall, and a whole bunch of people showed up at a hearing to castigate them for this. So we're going to show you a confrontation they had with one of the aldermen.
Walker. I've heard enough. I'll put my hand up.
Okay.
Just like the mayor does with
okay.
That. I'm not waving.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking.
Well, I'm going to.
I'm an elected official. You can't do
can
that.
Can I do that, Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Walker, if she's given the floor, I'm going to give her the 5 minutes just like everyone else,
okay,
and I will let you finish up your 5 minutes.
And you'll start the clock.
The clock is running as
please,
soon as...
Please,
I don't need
ahead.
5 minutes.
Please go ahead.
So, Mr. Walker, if you're not aware, and I think a lot of people in this room are not aware and have come here just because this is a gay issue, I am proudly the first openly elected lesbian in North Dakota. So that is why I'm not paying any heed to your crap. I am we the people, I'm the people, I live in Minot, I have a taxpayer, I am a person, I get to see myself represented on that flagpole, just as much as the people who got the Juneteenth flag last month, as much as the POW MIAs will get later this month. Every single person is entitled to see themselves represented. We are not some group of people who live in San Francisco or Seattle. We are here. We are your elected officials. We are your brothers. We are your sisters. And don't tell me you're not hatred and anger. That's all I feel. I've had to listen to it for days now, as is the mayor and many of my colleagues. It is unacceptable. This city is big enough for all of us. Me having a flag flying doesn't take away anything from your rights and freedoms. But you know what it does for me? It shows me I live in a city that appreciates and embraces me and the people of my community. And that I can live here and feel safe. That's what it does. I'm sorry it doesn't make you feel comfortable. But we're here, we're queer, and we're not going away.
Thank you. Thank you for exposing yourself and your anger.
Sometimes you need to show people how you feel.
If elocution were a knife, she sliced him to pieces with lesbian in North Dakota. It was beautiful. Beautiful.
I remember that happened to me. I was in a meeting of the AIDS Advisory Council of the Board of Education. This is in the late 80s. And they had people from the Archdiocese on this committee. And Damian Martin, who ran the Hetrick Martin Institute, had just died. And I'm in this meeting. And they're going on and on about fighting us and that we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. I just started screaming at them. I mean, you do have to show people how you feel sometimes. That don't let them get away with their, as she says, crap. Okay. By the way, another symbol which is being interpreted as gay at the Kroger supermarkets in Conway, Arkansas, two Christian employees are suing because they're saying we had to wear a symbol, a blue heart with a yellow line around it and a red line about it, and that's the rainbow, and this is against our religion. I mean, come on. But the EEOC, who we thought were our friends, have sided with them and said they are being subjected to religious discrimination. I don't know. It's not even a rainbow. Rainbow has a lot more color in it.
Well, while we're talking about businesses, we've got to bring, you know, sort of more bad news from businesses that are closing down, mostly because of COVID, but in this case, it's in Los Angeles, and it's the Rage nightclub. And it's funny because I've barely spent any time in Los Angeles in my whole life, but I remember going to Rage back in the late 80s. After 37 years, it is permanently closing, another victim of the pandemic. And then also another victim, Chicago Windy City Times. It's not closing, but it's going digital only. And they've been serving that community since 1987. 1985. So
it's a brave new world. Things are changing anyway. Who knows what it's going to look like out on the other side. By the way, an update on the Jerry Falwell Jr. case, the pool boy Giancarlo Granda says the Falwells are still obsessively texting and emailing him to the point of harassment. He says the Falwells' lavish lifestyle consisted of heavy drinking and going to nightclubs, which are forbidden, by the way, if you're a Liberty student. And by the way, somehow I got on the Liberty email list. They're trying to get me to go to school there.
Well, an update on another case that Gay USA has been keeping you up to date on, that gym, gay positive gym in New Jersey that was firebombed. They have arrested someone in that case, a guy named Dwayne A. Vandergrift Jr., 35, from Gloucester City. And they found, when they nabbed him, they found a whole bunch of other, they found a sort of shotgun, other explosives in his home. So he's been charged with this crime.
He was ready to strike again. In Florida, the governor, DeSantis, has struck again. Beyond killing people off with COVID, which he behaved totally irresponsibly about, he's got another appointee to the state Supreme Court, Jamie Grosshans, a member of the Anti-LGBT Alliance Defending Freedom, which she eliminated from her resume when she applied for this position. She's dedicated to spreading her gospel by transforming the legal system with the gospel. She's an anti-abortion activist. Her husband is a member of the Judicial Nominating Committee. I mean, isn't any of this enough for the, you know, I don't know if she has to be, I'm sorry, I don't know if she has to be confirmed by the legislature, but wow.
Meanwhile, in California, an appellate court there has vacated a decision in favor of an anti-gay baker. So this is a good decision from our perspective. Okay. Kathy Miller is the owner of Tastries Bakery. Yes, you heard that right. Tastries. So I guess it's sort of a play on taste and pastry. Kathy, try again. Not very creative. The Tastries Bakery in Bakersfield, California, it was mostly vacated on a procedural grounds. So, you know, this isn't a complete win yet. We'll see what happens down the line.
Well, these folks are not going to be happy about going back to school in some states. Laws mandating LGBTQ inclusion in curricula go into effect in Illinois and New Jersey in the current school year. Five states, as well as counties in Maryland, Virginia, have such laws. The other three states are California, Colorado, and Oregon. There are restrictions on LGBT stuff in Alabama, Louisiana, Mississippi, Oklahoma, South Carolina, and Texas. Maryland State Department of Education is developing new standards to include LGBTQ and disabled communities.
So we haven't talked about Kevin Spacey yet and the latest with him.
Oh, well.
Yeah, you know, it feels like more of the same, unfortunately. He's been sued by two actors who say they were accosted by him, molested by him as 14-year-old boys. One is relatively famous, Anthony Rapp, who has previously said that Spacey tried to seduce him decades ago.
He didn't try to seduce him. He pounced on him when he was 14 years old and a Broadway actor. He was at a party with Spacey, and Spacey jumped his bones, and he didn't know what to do. He was 14 years old. I mean, you know, we got a picture of him, what he looked like in those days. That was Spacey's MO in those days, and apparently did it to others. You know, he's gotten out of some of these scrapes, but I think that they're filing these cases because the deadline is looming for how late you can sue, whether it's, you know, priests, scoutmasters. You probably get these emails asking if you've been wronged.
Well, Kevin Spacey sort of, you know, whines that he can't work anymore, and too bad, Kevin.
Well, he's certainly going to, he damaged a lot of people. I mean, he was so notorious for, you know, going on sets and preying on low-level people working on the set and everything. I've been writing about it for years. Nobody paid attention. I mean, because I wrote about it. But I may have a story coming out about somebody that I think people will pay attention to.
Really?
Well, that's all right.
You're teasing us.
That's all I'm going to say.
Wow.
In Washington State, a federal judge ruled that a member of a same-sex couple whose partner died before they could marry legally is entitled to Social Security benefits. These women were together for 27 years. One died in 2006, 6 years before they could legally marry. And now this judge is saying, I'm inclined to say to the Social Security throughout the whole country, if these things happen, then give these people, these survivors, their Social Security benefits.
So meanwhile, back here on the other coast in New York, there's a Fordham University college football player, D1 college football player. Someone might understand what that means. I guess that's Division I. I don't follow football, so I don't know. But he's come out as bisexual. His name is Jaden Vasquez. He's gotten nothing but support from his teammates and his coaches, and it shows how far we've come. I remember when it was a big deal when our current city council president, as a young man, as a high school student, came out to his football team.
Up speaker in of the council.
What did I say? I said city council speaker. Oh, sorry, city council speaker. Excuse me. And occasional Gay USA co-host.
Correct. Oh, yes, that was a huge story. It was. They did a piece. He was on the front page of the New York Times, and on 2020, with that story, and he's supposedly running for mayor. We don't know exactly, but we'll see. Do you have any other American news?
No, I am ready to flip over to international.
Well, let's talk about the passing of Diana Rigg.
Oh.
I mean,
Diana Rigg was formative for me. You know, I have known I was gay since I was about five years old. And it doesn't matter. Diana Rigg somehow penetrated my brain, not sexually, but as this amazing force. The only other person who came close, the only woman who came close, was Tina Turner. As this force of nature, you know, singing Proud Mary, and I'm like, oh my God, what is going on here? And I would look at Diana Rigg in the Avengers, not the Marvel Avengers, but in the Avengers, which was an old British spy show. And she was just, it was so mind-bending because it was about her and her partner, John Steed. And John Steed was, you know, this fussy British guy with the bowler hat and umbrella and always wore a suit and never did a thing. Meanwhile, Diana Rigg is in these skin-tight black leather outfits and doing karate chops and kicking everybody's ass. It was mind-bending and awesome, and she was awesome. And so it's really sad that she's passed. I mean, she had a good long run.
The number of women who have commented about how this was such an eye-opener for them about what a woman could be in modern society, it was so thrilling for them. Was amazing.
And the number of heterosexual guys.
This is in the 60s.
Yeah, and the number of heterosexual guys. The heterosexual guys who have said to me, oh my God, Diana Rigg, she was my adolescent awakening. You know,
she took over the role from Honor Blackman, who died not too long ago, but who was also an icon. But when she got the job, she found out she was making the same salary as the stagehands, and she complained. She didn't consider herself a huge feminist, but on that she stood up. Look, I remember her in the movie The Hospital with George C. Scott, a classically trained stage actress. I saw her in Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in London, and she played in My Fair Lady.
I saw her in My Fair Lady. She was wonderful. But the thing a lot of people who may not know her from her old Avengers work may know her from is from Game of Thrones, where she played the Lady Olenna Tyrell, the grande dame of the Tyrell family, of House Tyrell. And she was wonderful in that role. She was deliciously scheming and had this wonderful scene at the end or near the end. She was just a great, Diana Rigg was great.
I have a close friend who says who was devoted to Game of Thrones, and he said she stole every scene she was in.
Yep.
So we'll miss her, but, you know, was in her 80s and died of cancer and just contributed an awful lot to our society. All right. In Chechnya, the horrors continue. A 19-year-old journalist, critic of the regime, was forced to apologize on camera naked and then forced to shove a bottle up his rectum on camera. A media watchdog group said if Chechens tolerate this, they have been morally murdered.
Yep. But also in Russian parts of the world, I'm looking to put the story in front of me. Here we go. Ah, yeah. Okay. So there's this convicted Russian neo-Nazi who made a point of preying on gay men. He committed suicide from his jail cell. Maxim Marcinkovich, who went by the nickname Tesak, which is Russian for machete, was serving a 10-year sentence for his violent attack on cannabinoid dealers. But he, one of his big things as a Russian neo-Nazi was going after gay people under the banner Occupy Pedophilia.
Trump.
You know, and it had nothing to do with, obviously, it had nothing to do with pedophilia, just with people who were gay. And in one of those most notable...
QAnon thinks every Democrat is a pedophile.
Exactly. And hiding in the back room of a pizza parlor.
And these are people that Trump praises.
And this guy assaulted and humiliated a gay contestant from the Ukraine's X Factor. He committed suicide. It makes you wonder what demons he was wrestling with. I always, when I hear about stories like this, I think, was that person gay himself and so repressed that it drove him to these lengths? I don't know. I'm speculating, but I always keep that in the back of my head. It's nothing to celebrate, but he's gone.
All right. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights has called for an investigation into the murder of LGBT activist, trans activist, Miria Rodriguez, Lemos, I think is also, found dead in her home in Chihuahua and identified last Tuesday. It was a violent death, the seventh rights activist to be killed this year. She was the founder of a trans advocacy group and promoter of AIDS education and open about the fact that she was a sex worker. All right.
So compare that with the Philippines, where Duterte has the Philippine president has pardoned the Marine who murdered a trans woman and was convicted and was serving a sentence, and now he's been pardoned, Lance Corporal Joseph Scott Pemberton, to everyone's outrage, he's going to go free.
What's the U.S. military going to do when they get this guy back?
I mean, he was convicted even if he's been pardoned. I can't believe they'll take him back. But, you know, in Trump's military, who knows?
Who knows? All right. TikTok, they're banning... Have you been on TikTok? I have not.
I have not. My boyfriend uses it, and he shows it to me every once in a while, and it gives me a headache.
Okay. Well, they're banning LGBT hashtags in Bosnia, Jordan, Russia, including gay in Russia and Arabic, I am lesbian in Russia, transgender in Arabic. TikTok claims to be supportive of LGBT pride. All right, we're running out of time. In the UK, they're now mandating LGBT inclusive sex education in all high schools.
I'm gonna pause you there, Andy. Is it the UK or just England?
Oh, you're right. You're right. It's England. You're right, and it's a very diverse place, and it's probably breaking up, and maybe we need a divorce too. part of the curriculum on what makes a good friend, a good colleague, and a successful marriage will be integrated. They're also going to convey information about contraception, consent, and online safety, respecting others and yourself. Stonewall, the group there, the LGBT group, calls it a landmark step forward.
I was going to say maybe we should send Kevin Spacey back to high school in England, and then I thought that's probably a very, very, very bad idea.
He had a very bad home life. Back to Russia, teachers in St. Petersburg now have to monitor their students' social media to watch out for LGBTQ symbols like rainbow flags for grades 5 to 11. According to the LGBT network, a university student was expelled for subscribing to an LGBT group.
But back to the UK for a second. In Northern Ireland, conversion therapy is on its way to being banned because of an agreement between various ministers there.
Right. The health ministry said they were too busy with COVID, so they gave it to the communities ministry. J.K. Rowling's transphobia is on steroids now. She's written a new novel under her male nom de plume. Robert Galbraith is her name. It's called Troubled Blood, the moral of which, according to one reviewer, is never trust a man in a dress. It's about a cisgender man who wears women's clothes to kill women.
Meanwhile, the guy who plays Hagrid in the Harry Potter movies, Robbie Coltrane, is the lone cast member from those movies to come to J.K. Rowling's defense, saying, oh, everyone on Twitter just seems to be waiting around for something to be offended about. It's like, no, Robbie, this is something to be offended about. Anyway,
you know, I mean, all trans people are doing is just trying to fight for justice and jobs and things like that. United Kingdom, companies like Disney, Google, and Microsoft joined universities and trans rights groups urging Boris Johnson to make name changes easier for trans people. They're delayed this. The government says they're going to do it, but they don't do it.
In World Cup soccer, the player Rebecca Quinn has come out as transgender, using the pronouns, I think, they and them. And they were a member of the 2016 Olympic Games with the Canadian team and played for a bronze medal.
In London, they had their second Trans Plus Pride March on Saturday. 4,000 people turned out. They've got a long list of demands. In Taiwan, they added a children's book about two princes who fall in love and get married. It's called King and King. It was added to a list, so naturally the right wing is getting all upset. They call it brainwashing and confusing for the children. The LGBT group there said that half of gay people were aware of their sexual orientation in elementary school, and so it's good that they're doing this.
And in the Americas, the Inter-American Commission on Human Rights has granted a public audience to marriage equality organization Fundación Iguales to challenge Panama to institute same-sex marriage.
And Barbados, the prime minister there, Mia Motley, very defensive about her human rights record. So she says, we're going to recognize same-sex civil unions, but then we're going to put it up to a referendum. That's not very nice. That's just going to divide the country. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, our rights should never be put up to a popular vote. No one's fundamental right should ever be put up to a popular vote.
Absolutely not. Grim statistics from Colombia, the country. At least 63 LGBT people have been murdered in the first 8 months of this year. The pandemic is seen as exacerbating this because it makes it harder for people to come forward and get justice.
All right. That's all I got on international.
Right. In AIDS news, Visual AIDS has come out with a series of new comics addressing contemporary aspects of the ongoing HIV epidemic. It's called, we got a picture, Strip AIDS 2020. It's curated by Paul Samet. Go to visualaids.org/comics to view it. I read through the comic books. They're terrific. I mean, it's about getting tested. It's the peril, you know, and people not getting tested, getting tested, testing positive, testing negative, about women with HIV. It is just great.
Awesome.
Broadway Cares, their Broadway flea market, which they used to have in Schubert Alley every year, is going to be online this year on Sunday, September 20th, virtually. So go to BroadwayCares.org. It is a star-studded event. Entertainment news. Got any reviews for us, Chris?
Just one that I'll do briefly. There's a movie based on a Marvel comic book that I remember reading when I was young called The New Mutants. And it is a spinoff from the X-Men series involving young people who develop these incredible powers in adolescence. But what makes it of particular interest to gay USA viewers is that they added an element that is not in the original comic book, which is a very girlishly chaste love affair between Rain Sinclair, Wolfsbane, who transforms into a wolf dog kind of thing. That's her power. And Danielle, Danny Moonstar, who is a Native American character who has all these psychic abilities. And, you know, I'm watching this in the drive-in, because I went to the drive-in to see it, because that's the way you can see movies right now. And I'm like, wow, they're really putting this whole lesbian subtext going on in their relationship. And then suddenly, boom, it ain't subtext no more. So that was kind of fun to watch. On the downside, they kind of bleached the entire cast. Specifically, there are two characters in the comic book who are pronouncedly, markedly brown skinned. Dr. Cecilia Reyes, who's a good guy in the comics, but she's turned into a bad guy in the movie. And she's a Latina Puerto Rican, black Afro Puerto Rican. And in a movie, she ain't black. And then the other one is Roberto da Costa, who's Brazilian. And he's a very brown-skinned Brazilian. In the movie, he ain't brown. So I'm sitting there.
What's going on?
What's up with that? What's with the bleaching of the cast?
The protests.
That was disturbing. And then finally, as far as how the movie was, it was a very slender, small story. So I can't really very recommend it.
Okay. All right. You know, there's no basically no live theater. But so Ben Brantley is taking this occasion, the out gay, long time theater critic at the New York Times, the most powerful one, 27 years on the job. He's going to retire on October 15th. Out gay Jesse Green, who we know, friend of ours, is continuing. Of course, there isn't much to review these days. They're taking this as an opportunity to diversify the critic pool. I mean, they used some stringers and some, you know, other people, but the top two guys were white gay men, which is part of diversity, gayness. You know, we shouldn't overlook that, although...
And it certainly is integral to musical theater.
Right. All right. Dole, the fruit company, is advertising their new fruit bowls with diversity in their ads, including we're going to run this 19-second spot that features some lesbian moms.
We needed a way to talk about our kids
without them knowing.
We call them fruit bowls. Was it your idea to have fruit bowls, or was it mine?
That was yours.
I don't think so.
It's very cute. And the other couples featured in the ad series are also quite diverse. And, of course, this has enraged the religious right, who want us wiped off the face of the earth, but send their kids to Jerry Falwell's Liberty University, where they can learn how to drink and have threesomes. Well, I mean, come on. Those are the role models there, Becky and Jerry.
Hypocrisy is always ripe in these situations.
All right, down to our last minute and a half. Lifetime. I don't watch too many Lifetime movies, maybe a little bit, you know, they're kind of corny. But their first holiday movie, Christmas movie, with a lead LGBT storyline, it's called The Christmas Setup, is going to star real-life gay married couple Ben Lewis and Blake Lee. We have a picture of them to show us. They make a nice couple. It's a cute story. I've read the plot. And so if you are a Lifetime fan... Something for us.
Something for everyone.
I'm sure. So we're down to our last 46 seconds, Chris. Wow. How are you feeling about, by the way, politically right now in terms of your optimism, pessimism?
I am optimistic because it is by no means an assured win. We could very easily lose on November, but we will definitely win if everybody puts in the work. It is within our grasp. So it's really on us. If we do the work, we will win.
We will. And I agree with that. I mean, everybody just has to, you know, I mean, we shouldn't have to beg people to vote or fill out the census. But and of course, if you go to our email,
or give money to candidates. Now is the time. Don't wait until a week beforehand when the money can't do any good, you know, or write letters or phone bank.
We're done.